Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from the Bone Collector.
Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the podcast, Wage Brains and Wage Brains alike. We appreciate you. You are our family. You're our supporters. Or you're haters and you're just listening to dumb shit we'll say to use it against us later. Thank you for being
good
here.
Luck.
We appreciate the download. We're going to mess up.
Yeah, we don't say dumb shit, do we?
Yeah, you think I'm going to regret something I say? Not a chance.
No way.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen lots of times, this podcast, and probably every other one. That's called being real and making mistakes. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Name Brand Stuff. Did you guys like my post the other day how I made about Fruit Loops and Fruit Rounds?
Oh, yeah.
Fruit Rounds.
Here's the thing, and no matter what you're doing, pull your own wagon. So think about that for a little bit. Thank you so much for supporting us, workingclassbowhunter.com. We have all sorts of goodies on there. If you would, leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and say, hey, Wage Brains Unite or whatever. And maybe subscribe to our YouTube channel here for 21.
Send some veteran shout outs.
We got some plans.
Right, we need some of them.
Send us some veteran shout outs. And just thank you for the general support all around. It means a lot. And I think we'll start this episode with a veteran shout out of our own. We'll do an introduction so who everybody knows who's here. Kurt Geyer, one of your hosts. Thank you for being here.
Doug Schmidt, one of your hosts. Thank you for being here.
Eric Hellman, one of your hosts. Thank you for being here.
Austin Chandler, a.k.a. The Lord.
Ross Bigger, just here.
Ross the Beard Bigger. And you have a veteran shout-out this week.
I do. It was Veterans Day here last week. So, I was thinking about my grandpa Gene Heap. He served in the Navy as a sonar and a sub. And
no kidding.
Yep. They spent many, many days underneath the water. So
that's bizarre.
That's cool, yeah, man.
And he actually he couldn't get his headphones off quick enough, and a bomb or a missile went off underwater, and hurt his hearing really bad.
No shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And by the time he figured out what it was that he was hearing coming through the water.
Yeah.
By the time it hit, he, you know, that sonar, they're listening to every little fish swim through there. So
yeah,
Anyways, it damaged his hearing pretty bad, but he spent a lot of time on the sub. So that's my veteran shout out.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, thank you. Thank him for his service. I don't doubt he listens to the podcast.
Nope. But
man, that's incredible. That's crazy, hearing stories like that on a submarine.
God, yeah. I cannot.
Could you imagine
months on
going underneath the water
for months
just by hearing?
I would.
Like, you can't see where you're going.
It's just a whole different level of badass. A whole different generation.
It'd be uncomfortable.
I mean, they didn't have radar, and I mean, as much a radar that they have today, obviously. But
yeah.
I mean, it was your job to sit there and listen for other subs.
God, I'm not a fan of tight spaces either. Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's. Just a different type of tough to do a job like that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. Next time you see him, say, hey, the boys from the podcast want to thank you for your service.
I will.
He'll probably be like, pussies.
What is that?
What's a podcast?
He's going to say, what?
He's like, I'm glad I can't hear as well, so I don't have to listen to that shit.
Roz, give me another beer.
Y'all a bunch of pussies.
Only kidding. If you would like to submit your own veteran shout out, workingclassbowhunter.com, hit the contact tab on top of the page. And send it on over. Doug will get that directly to his email. That's the easiest way for us to keep track of them.
Appreciate you.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Also, moving on to the unpopular opinion segment. We're trying to do these more consistent. We made a post in our group, Working Class Bow Hunters, said, hey, comment what topics you want to cover. And so we've randomly just been picking them. And literally right before that way, we can't have like this preconceived like thought process for a day or a week or whatever.
We had like 400 comments on it, so.
Yeah, and I need to almost like pin that as an announcement in the group. That way people can keep going back. But this one is submitted by Sarah Ann. Why do you have to strap a baby to your back to hunt? Seems to be the next cool thing women have to do. Cue jingle.
A colorful, emotional, working class hero.
Come on. That opinion's not very popular.
Come on.
Are you serious, Clark?
But let me...
Now it's the unpopular opinion segment.
Why do you have to strap a baby to your back to hunt? Seems to be the next cool women thing to do. I'll be honest. I've seen one chick do this on the internet, and that's Becca Garris. And I thought it was fucking sweet. And I think that I would assume, you know, maybe it is cool. It's kind of like a badass, like, milestone to do with your kid on your back. But what better way to engulf your kid into the outdoors at such a young age and to do it with traditional equipment? Yeah. To me, I think it's badass. I would never throw any negative shade on someone unless later it becomes like this trend that's corny and people are just doing it for no right. But that's not an easy thing to do. So you have to be pretty legit to accomplish that.
Absolutely. In my opinion, I haven't seen this happen once until Kurt brought it up. You know.
Yeah, same.
Until we saw this unpopular opinion comment.
Exactly. So I don't know if it is a trend starting. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we're seeing something that, you know. She saw that we didn't, but...
But I agree with you 100%, Kurt. Like, it's badass. To take your kid out there to kill a doe, you never know if that kid's going to start crying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
especially with
a
bow like that. I got the picture pulled up on the monitor here in the studio. That's just Becca Garr. She just did a podcast with the Push, which is primarily... Well, it's a more traditional archery podcast. Shout out to those guys. Send us a couple cool hit packs. But... Yep. Yeah, the Push Podcast, this is episode, what episode is this? I can't full screen it for some reason.
168.
Oh, there it is. 168 of the Push. I think that's sweet, and I don't know if that's who she's referring to as Becca in this unpopular opinion topic. But I think anybody that takes their kid hunting with on their back and is successful is fucking rad. I think, too... Not everybody has the convenience of a grandma or grandpa that can just watch your kid anytime.
Yep.
Instead of sitting at home wishing you were hunting, it says a lot and a lot of integrity and initiative to just be like, hey, I'm taking my kid. I'm going to teach him. I'm going to go and get it done.
Well, in that point, too, like, I still want to hunt. If it's the reason where I got to take my kid with me, I'm still going to hunt.
Right. Yeah. You know if that's your only option, you got to do it.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's like next level teaching your kid how to be quiet. I mean, damn.
Yeah. It's like, normally I go out just
that's going
tape.
Way back to like caveman days, carrying your kid on your back and killing things with a stick and string.
It's like some gorilla shit.
That's fucking savage.
Yeah. That's next level for sure.
I don't understand this unpopular opinion. I didn't know that was a common enough thing to have an opinion on.
If it becomes a trend where, like, everybody's doing it, then that's one thing. But to just call some, like, one person out that did it, yeah.
I'm assuming she saw something else. I mean,
it would have to be, like, an accumulative. I don't know enough about it.
I don't know. I don't either.
I don't have kids, but, I mean, kids suck, so. Well. Yeah. That's my opinion.
You wouldn't take
that's why I hate it anyway.
Yeah, never mind. I was going to go dark, but
damn, dude.
See, I've been stopping myself.
You were the body bagging, weren't you?
Yeah, I was about to.
He's body bagging you, right? Dude, up, right
about
off
to body bag you and everybody you love.
Let me have it.
I can't do that on this podcast. Your whole family would hate me, I think.
Oh shit!
I mean, I've seen this. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. I'll edit that.
Somebody comes at you.
Doug
with
did
a
not
knife.
Find that funny at all.
I thought it was good.
No, you didn't even react.
I said, "Heard that."
You're just like, "Fuck you, man." No. All right, noted. I saw your look on your eyes. So you wanted it. I gave it to you.
Somebody comes at you with a knife. You put their whole family in the morgue.
Hey.
Yeah. Whoa.
No, that's a bold statement. Kids suck. You're saying you don't love your nieces and nephews?
Nah, I do.
Sweet little kids running around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just going to be a no cool. for you, dog.
You can do without, huh?
Nah, it's whatever. It is what it is.
So if you had I thought I was harsh, man. You just disown your own nieces and nephews.
No, I'm just joking.
I don't know how many nieces and nephews.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Hey, you thought we were having a good time.
So if you had kids, you wouldn't take them hunting on your back?
I would, yeah. I mean, if I had to.
If it was your only option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knew how to be quiet.
I felt bad about my body bag, but you just body bagged your own family worse than I could have. So it's
it is. What it is.
So harsh.
He body bagged his body bag.
You're going to hug your niece and I don't know how many nieces and nephews you have. You might only have one. I'm just
I got four now.
Four? Wow. Where'd that come from?
My brother's fiance has two kids.
Oh, you have a. Okay. I got you. Yeah. I got you. Cool. Well, anyway, that's our unpopular opinion. It's a weird one.
That was a weird one.
Weird one we're not familiar with. We just went from that to immediately hating on just kids in general.
My bad.
So, man, fuck kids.
You never
just
know
so everybody knows, we don't hate kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Doug.
Yeah, Doug's the only one that hates kids for the record.
Just Doug.
He hates his own blood kids. So, oh, I get what you're saying. You hate your brother's girlfriend's kids, but you like your brother's.
Oh,
okay. I'm seeing through the smoke
it.
Here. I get
took
it,
a turn.
Jesus.
I took it. A turn for the worse.
Yeah. Yeah,
how are you going to dig your way out of this one, buddy?
I just made a red joke because your family has like red hair in your blood. But you just went for the throw. You're just like, yeah, I don't like kids at all.
You just went for the jugular.
Yeah. It's like, hey, man.
It's a joke.
Hey, man, calm down. It's just a joke.
Can we move on? Doug thinks.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
Get off it. Man, all right, so...
We're past 5 minutes.
Hard segment, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We were in our time frame on the unpopular opinion segment, way past the time frame of just hating children.
Let's get past that now.
Woof. I have to demote you after hearing that. This podcast is the most epic of 2020 could be. You take the shittiest year of all time, and you hand it to Ross Bigger, and his beard swallows it, and spits it into hunt success.
Just hits it out of the park.
Can you do that for me then?
I can try.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Can you give me something?
Anything? Ross is an Illinois boy.
Yep.
I got to add that.
On the way to add that. But.
And and I just got to add that again because I feel like there's like this low-key competition between Iowa and Illinois on the podcast because it's split down the middle. For
I think
hosts.
There kind of always has been.
Like yeah, but
a little.
It has been from day one.
Well, yeah. You got to remember this. It was me and Steve versus you two. So I'm like over here batting for the whole team. And then Steve moves to Iowa, and then I'm outnumbered, but then we do some rearranging.
Yeah, you bring in some heavy hitters.
And I bring in the heavy hitters. But regardless, without Ross and Austin.
You still, yeah, whoop our ass. Oh.
But, damn. I mean, it is what it is.
Hey, Key.
Let's talk about, what's that?
That's a Key. It is what it is.
It is?
Yeah.
What did he
use? That's going to get old.
But yeah.
But I like it. Ross, what's up, buddy?
Oh, not much, man.
How you feeling?
Good. How really good? Like real, real, real
like
good.
Like on top of the world good?
Yeah, pretty much. It's coming down to like, it's a really bittersweet feeling when you're cleaning out the back of your Polaris Ranger and just slowly putting your shit away for the year. Like, you know, you're done. Yeah. Like, it's just...
Hanging your gloves up.
Yeah, just hanging the bow and putting the camo back on the hangers. And anyways.
Are you feeling good because you shot a buck or because of the crown?
Both.
Both, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It started with the buck and then it ended with crown, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
As so, it should.
Take us to, because, I mean, you're a big buck killer. We've covered some of the bucks on the podcast in the past, but let's start with a little bit of history before we even dive into the first buck of this year.
Okay.
You have 2 200-inch deer at home, a pile of other great bucks, a pile of some big, big bears. What are your other 200s? What do they score? Rough. I mean, I know they're 200, but.
First one was 217 and 217 and some change. And the second one we measured 207. And he had a great big unicorn point, big old crab claw unicorn point.
Woof. 217 and a 207.
Yep.
Golly. Okay, that says a lot there. To have two bucks over 200 inches is impressive.
One, my first one I shot with a bow. It was a Matthews DXT.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one I had several encounters with. I think I had three encounters with that deer on the hoof with a bow. And it came down to second shotgun season, first muzzleloader in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I went in to kill him with my shotgun. I had a H&R single barrel or single shot bull barrel.
Yeah.
And where he had been coming out, anyways, whatever. He didn't come out that night in that same spot, but I finally figured him out. And the next night I took my muzzleloader and I had to make a long bomb on him, but that's how I got him shot. So.
So you got it done. So let's bring it into 2020.
Oh, boy.
And So I'm not saying that you've had, like, rough years. You're also very selective, people have to keep in mind. But you're not unfamiliar with big deer by any means, which we just proved. But bring us in. So we went on the bear hunt in the spring. I'm just breaking down Ross's 2020. That's this podcast.
Yeah, so we went on the bear hunt, but even before the bear hunt, what was the dates on that bear hunt, by the way?
It was in May.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but we booked flights.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't go on the flights because we were getting text notifications like, flights canceled, now it's on, and then we're like, we're driving to avoid that whole airport mess.
Yep. Yeah. So we ended up with a credit. Like, they wouldn't cash our, you know, wouldn't send us checks back or nothing, credit our cards or whatever. So we decided to roll out there. But even before that, in February, I broke my arm cutting a big tree down. So I had a big surgery done and a plate and five screws trying to put my radius back together in my left arm, bow-holding arm.
You broke your arm on your birthday, too.
On my birthday, yep. It was a hell of a deal. So I broke that arm, got it put back together, was feeling good. And went on this bear trip, pushing it. I mean, it was February and then May, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm good to go. Just wearing a wrist brace. And I can't say exactly what did it, but I ended up re-breaking this arm. Hurting like a bastard on that trip, too, man.
The horse?
Yeah, it could have been the horse. Could have been bending wire before we went on the trip. It could have been.
Sorry, I'm thinking back to the horse. Apologize.
I got bucked off a horse pretty bad. That was rough. First night in, late night, exhausted from travel, and got bucked off and smacked the ground pretty good. But anyways.
Moving along.
That sucked.
Fucking horses.
Fuck horses.
Hashtag fuck horses. Use it. Tag your friends.
So, anyways, got back and then, just went back in for an x-ray because it was hurting. And it was re-broke again. I broke a screw. Had five screws in there. I broke a screw, bent the plate, refractured. It was a mess.
Cheap screws.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, anyways, he went back in. Like, I got this on Friday. He said Monday morning we're going under surgery again. So, peeled it all back open, took it all back apart, and then put it back together. And it's been a long, long, long summer. I mean, hot, wearing a cast, just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole year, I just thought, you know what, I always push it, but I wanted to be safe this time because I don't need a third surgery.
Yeah.
So I just kept pushing it a little more. Even in the cast, I mean, I was using the arm a lot. And just leading up to, I shot Austin's recurve, matter of fact, or I'm sorry, longbow one night in his backyard with my cast still on. I thought that was fun,
mm-hmm.
but
was it fun?
No, it kind of hurt a little bit.
okay, fair.
So, anyways, I got out of the cast and then I went to a brace and yada yada. Just kept pushing it a little here, a little there. There's been numerous times since then I thought I broke my arm again, just overdoing it. And I went back in for X-rays. Everything looked good. I was just stretching and pulling on every muscle that hadn't been used all summer,
mm-hmm.
Ligaments and all that. But we were supposed to, my buddy Bill hit me up and said, dude, I've got a couple cell cameras going in South Dakota right now on my lease, and there is a couple of stompers rolling around, and we could kill these deer, like, first of September. I think it was 1st of October.
It was in October, yeah. I believe.
It was October 1, I think. South Dakota switched their dates this year. So I think October 1 it opened up.
For non-residents, you can't hunt mule deer in South Dakota until October 1st.
So, yeah, there you go. That's what it was.
Which is why we hunted antelope only, because they changed that. Yeah.
So with that being changed, now all of a sudden we're he's like, dude, we got to go out here and kill these deer. Let's go. Like, we're leaving Monday. Yeah. This is on like a Friday. I'm like, man, I can't, dude. I got jobs coming out the ass right now. I just got to get these things done. And my arm is just not ready for it.
And you have a broken arm.
Yeah.
So, and this was actually, I was still in the cast, but getting ready to get it off. Like, I could have just cut it off myself and went on this trip, but I don't need a third surgery. So, that just sucks.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, well, sorry, dude, I got to pass. And then I thought, well, there went my shot for going back to South Dakota with Bill, because I did that in 16. And it was a blast. So, anyways, I got in on this later. It was late. I don't even remember what the dates were. I think it was October 24th or 3rd or something. He hit me up again and was like, well, I'm rolling out to South Dakota, and then I'm going to come back to Illinois and hunt my farm there. And I said, well, who's going with you? He goes, nobody, man, just me. I said, well, can I go? He goes, you ready? I said, yep, I'm ready.
Yep.
So, started... I hadn't even shot the bow all summer. Mm-hmm. Still hadn't pulled the bow back, but I'm going on this trip. So I waited. I made this decision like a week before we left. Got everything booked. Like, I'm rolling. I didn't,
using those flight credits.
Yeah. So
which is why I mentioned that the whole bear hunt shit.
Yeah, that's right. Using those flight credits up. That's how I convinced my wife, because I got this big old credit.
Got to use these credits, honey.
Like, honey, they're going to expire. They're going to lose my money.
You got to use them.
Yeah,
you
know? They lose my money.
We go to Florida.
No, we can't.
COVID.
Florida was.
It's only for one ticket.
It's one for one person.
I'd have to buy one for you. Then we're losing money, baby. Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Think about it.
If I go to South Dakota, it's paid for.
Paid for. We win twice.
It's a free hunt.
So he's like, well, we're flying. I'll be booked. We're leaving Sunday. Like, Sunday morning. We're leaving Sunday morning. We're landing in Rapid City.
Buckstorm territory.
Yeah. So we're landing in Rapid City Airport at 10:20 a.m. Like, boots on the ground, and we're hunting. So I shot my bow Saturday at noon. And I didn't have a good tape for the arrows I was running. So I pulled the HHA setup tape out, threw it on there. I had to back my bow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't shooting 70 pounds.
Yeah, you're not shooting 80-pound limbs.
No. So I put the setup tape on. I dial it in with about 14, 15 arrows. Finally choose my setup tape and go in. I put the setup tape on, didn't touch it. Like, I threw it in the case, packed, and I'm going.
You put your actual tape on and left.
Yeah. So, but those 14, 15 arrows, like, the next morning getting on an airplane, I thought my arm was broke again.
I'm no
like,
shit.
This sucks.
You must broke the shit out of your arm.
Well, the thing about it is not using any of those muscles summer long. And then to go pushing them through, you know, pulling a bow back and all that, it's just miserable. Yeah.
Plus, if I add, like, you're a hardcore wage brain, own your own business, like, the money you make is based on what you do, so
yeah,
you're
and
forced
I have
to
have my hands.
Yeah,
and I know for sure when you had that cast on, you were not taking it easy.
No, I can't take it easy.
No, hell no.
The bank says I can't take it easy.
Yeah, pay that bill.
Pay
son.
That shit back, man.
That arm don't look broke to me.
Get back to work.
I don't see a bone sticking out from here, pussy.
So
it's like,
that's what his loan officer says.
We land in Rapid City. We end up with like this little, it's just like this little SUV car thing. And we take off, we roll, we're starting to, and oh, by the way, they got Rapid City, South Dakota, they got like 8-10 inches of snow.
Dude, I was feeling for you when that happened. I was like, and that hunt's going to suck.
That's the point where you're like, woof.
And Sunday was like negatives. Ooh. I think it was like negatives, so it was cold.
Mm.
And we hit the ground. We're walking out, dragging our bow cases and all of our luggage, and we're trying to get to this car covered in ice and snow. Windshield wipers are frozen to the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, digging ourselves out of a snowdrift, trying to get on the road and get going to the farm.
In the Honda Civic.
Basically. Didn't have four-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, whatever the hell it was. So we finally get out of town, we start rolling, and we get out to the farm. We had to drive for a little while, but not too bad. And we're out there, we start glassing for deer. These deer are not on this farm that we normally, like, it's just, normally this farm's just loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And we show up, there's no deer on this farm. They're all across the road in, like, some big old sedan grass.
Really?
Yeah. So,
everything you're hoping for is like, this isn't what...
They're on the wrong side of the road, man. They're on somebody else's property.
Yeah.
And how do we get them to come back over to where we're hunting?
Right.
So we just start rolling the roads and kind of cruising and just seeing where all the... Just getting a feel for the place, you know. Mm-hmm. Where's these deer at? What are they doing? There's all this snow sitting there. So we roll the block, and we roll around, you know, to the north. On the country block, which is a big
87
dog.
Miles.
Yeah.
So
large in South Dakota, as we all know.
And so we start spotting these deer, and here and there in little spots, like, oh, there's a nice buck over there. And mm-hmm. Can't hunt that, you know.
Be nice.
Hey, look at this draw like right here. I can see them pouring out of this, and they're going in. So there's this, we roll this corner, sunflower fields, man. They're big out there.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
sunflower fields yeah. everywhere. So, we roll this corner. We go right past this big old shelter block, that's what I would call a hedgerow or a windrow or wind block. So there's a big old hay field, shelter belt, sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
These deer are pouring. We could tell. We can see through all the tracks. You know, these deer are pouring into this shelter belt, hanging up for the day, going to hit sunflowers. Cross back, go bed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are just bedding right there, like next to this back road.
Yeah.
We're like foaming at the mouth. Like there's big muleys, there's big whiteys. They're all just piled into this thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool if we could hunt these deer, but we can't. We're just driving roads and glassing and foaming at the mouth.
You
found the honey hole.
Oh, yeah. So we rolled it. This was Sunday night. This was, so the next morning...
How long have you been there? A couple days, a day?
No. This was the day we landed.
Oh, the day you
landed.
Now
we're out there just kind of getting a feel for everything. Okay. Snow's on the ground.
Yep.
So the next morning, it's so cold. It's like zero still. Mm-hmm. And supposed to warm up to like 5.
Nice.
And then drop back to 0 or negatives.
Right.
So Monday was going to be brutal.
Cold front, you know.
So we get in the... Bill's like, dude, why don't we just roll? Let's just roll the roads. Let's keep doing a little spotting. This weather's going to break and like... 2 days, a day, 2 days.
Break for warmth?
Yeah, break for warmth. And he's like, it's going to start melting that snow off. Like, everything's going to start shifting back to normal. Let's just roll these roads and keep spotting these deer, and let's just see what happens. So we go by, we're rolling by this farm, and the lease, and we're looking at all these big boys out across this sedan grass. And, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say there's 300 deer out there. Like, it's as far as the eye could see, there's just whiteys and muleys. I mean, they're just everywhere. Just
herds of deer.
Yeah, and there's public land all around. So that's another thing I'll add to this story. As South Dakota switched it over on the tags, you can't, a non-resident, if you don't put your tags in early enough or send in for them mm-hmm. in, like, March, and you just, like I did, like 4 days before I'm leaving, I just sent it in, and I got them the day before I left.
Yeah.
Says in bold red print right on that tag, not for public land hunting.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that until you told me about it.
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. So now I got this big old bold print. I mean, that's kind of our what do we want to call it? Our rebound is we got some public ground outside of this lease that's really close to it. It's like BLM, like little spots here and there.
Yep.
We couldn't hunt that. I couldn't hunt that. Bill could, but I'm so I went into this deal like, man, this is going to suck. I mean, we don't have a backup plan. There's no deer on this farm.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're really right on that farm.
Yeah.
And then there's no deer on it.
Yeah. We're all pumped. We're jacked. We're like, yeah, where's these deer at? And nothing. I mean, that snow just pounded all that grass and all that cover they had flat. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing there. Anyways, so we the next morning, we're rolling, just spotting and looking and just, you know, checking everything out. And we rolled this block. We rolled this block of sunflowers over by the sunflowers in that big windrow.
Yeah.
Like 4 times, maybe. So we rolled it like 4 times, and every time there was, you know, a different deer standing there. There's, you know.
Just deer everywhere.
Good bucks. Like, we need to shoot these bucks, but mm-hmm. we can't. So I said, you know what, piss on this. Like, we got time. Let's go grab something to eat real quick. Let's go to, let's run to Cabela's back to clear back to Rapid City. Let's grab a few things I know we're going to need. And then we'll just make a plan. Let's set up and hunt. Like, we'll just hang and hunt tonight.
Yeah.
Something. We got to try.
You're hunting, at least.
Yeah. Well, at least we're hunting. We're not, you can't kill them out of the truck. Mm-hmm. So, or car, or whatever the hell that thing was.
So, El Camino. What was it? Came in 1986 El Camino.
Yeah. For the record, what was it? The rental.
Man, I can't even. There's so many Japanese brands out there.
It's a Kia.
It, I think it was a Kia something. I don't know.
Kia Soul.
Okay.
Kia Soul. So, whatever.
The gayest cube. Car ever made.
Yeah, the cube looking fucking thing.
So, Chevy Volt.
So we he rolls up. He's driving. We roll up to this.
Just gave you a gleaner.
Oh, yeah. So no, the reason we needed to roll back to Rapid was not just go to get something to eat, grab Cabela's, and then we're getting rid of this vehicle. Like, I'm not doing this. I know you rented it. That's cool. Get your money back. Like, we'll take this thing back. I'm getting a truck.
Mm-hmm.
So we rolled in, got us a truck, a Toyota Tundra, which is a pretty decent truck.
Two-wheel drive?
Other than it's too damn smart. It was four.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Locked in all the time.
Yeah.
I locked it in all the time.
Well, so why not, right? It's around yours.
Anyways, we roll up there to the interstate, and he stops the truck, and he's like, you know what? Let's take a piss, and let's roll that block one more time. I'm like, dude, we've seen it four times. Like, why do we need to do this again? Let's just roll right now so then we get back in time.
Yeah.
Take a piss, turn around, roll back. We start blasting down towards this sunflower patch. There's a guy pulls out, the farmer, like the only farm on this road, mm-hmm. pulls out of the driveway, parks right on the road, like waiting for us. I'm like, dude, we're hovering this guy too hard. He's been watching. Now he's going to give us a verbal lashing.
Well, yeah, so, he hasn't seen anyone in a fucking month. Yeah. He's so, like, he just wanted to talk to someone.
So I'm like, well,
he's hoping it's a female.
Right.
Runs into your beard.
I'm like, no, fuck it, dude. We're committed now. I mean, it's us. Like, we're going. He knows we're rolling.
Yeah.
So we come driving up there. Bill's like, holy shit, dude, is that a gun hanging out of his truck? I'm like, yep, sure is. Yep, totally. And went rolling up there. I'm like, oh, it's a fence post sticking out of the back of his truck.
Like, this fucking guy's going to kill us.
With a fence post.
So I was like, stop the car at this point. It was stop the car. And had California plates on it, by the way.
That
was,
oh, God.
Freaking awesome.
So immediately he's like, yuppies.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That always looks good.
So we get out. I'm going to make this. I don't want to drag this story on too far. But anyways, we get it. This is a key part of it.
Painting a great photo, a great picture.
So I'm like, just stop the car. Let me get out. I'm gonna talk to this guy. So, I mean, I born.
Well, and two, being a business owner, you know how to talk to people.
Yeah. Well, and also I've been born and raised on the farm and we run cattle. This guy's a farmer. Sure, he's got cattle. Sure. He's got tractors. Like, we're just talking farmer talk right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got out and I walked right up and he was one of those, I mean, he's 70-year-old, opened the truck door because the window doesn't roll down.
Yeah, yeah.
And just stares straight ahead. Didn't even make eye contact with me.
Yeah.
As I walked up.
Looking out the windshield.
I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, well, I said, hi, sir. How you doing today? I said, my name's Ross Bigger. I'm from Illinois. This is my buddy Bill. He's from Michigan. I said, you know, we're just out here and noticed you had some really nice deer using this sunflower patch over here crossing the road. And to be honest with you, we're out here to shoot a deer, and I'm just hoping to try and gain access to a permission spot, because just recently this year, South Dakota changed it, and it's got bold red print right on my tag, says no public land. And we've been coming out here for a few years, and now we can't hunt public because I screwed up and didn't send in time, and didn't know if you'd have a spot that we could hunt some deer on. And he goes, well, I think that'd be all right.
No kidding.
I said, really, sir, I appreciate that. And he said, well, I've got some rifle hunters coming, you know, when rifle season starts in like 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it was. He's like, so I'd, you know, those guys come, they're buddies of mine. But in the meanwhile, I said, sir, we're using bows. You know, we're just wanting to get some meat and get a nice deer shot and head home to our families. And he's like, well, I think that's no problem at all.
When I said okay, do you own this? When you said okay, were you trying hard not to just jump up and down and heel click and do all kinds of dumb shit?
Well, yeah, and Bill's jaw hit the floor. He's like, "Holy shit, I can't believe
that Ross is a smooth sucker."
You smooth talker.
And I said, "I'll tell you what, sir. Honestly, this is a rental vehicle right here. I said, this is a rental vehicle. Those like California plates, that ain't us. So we don't got Pelosi in the back seat or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
We're just out here hunting. And he's like, all right, well, he goes, no, that'd be fine. I said, so do you own this sunflower field? And he goes, no, I don't. That's the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, well, these deer are bedding on you and then coming to that shoulder belt and then crossing over. So I want to, I said, I'm thinking we could set up in that shoulder belt and probably shoot one of these deer. He said, well, I think that'd be fine. I said, okay. And we sat there and talked, and he's all suited up. He gets out of his truck. I mean, he's got his coveralls on, and it's cold.
His car hard. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're driving around just binocking, and I'm in like a long sleeve t-shirt, no hat.
Willing to freeze to get just permission.
Freezing
your dick off.
Anyway, so we, I said, so what all do you, you're okay with us hunting this little shelter belt here? And he's like, yeah, and I own everything over to the highway, all the way back over here to the east. So, I mean, that's all mine. I said, okay. Appreciate it very much. We're probably going to set up in this draw tonight. It's like 10:30 at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I appreciate it very much. We shook hands and away we went. Bill's, oh, I can't believe we just got permission on that. That's awesome. This is great. You know, for the meantime, I mean, until weather snaps and the snow melts off, you know, this is
in the chips.
So anyways, we make a game plan. We roll.
Did Bill say anything the entire time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was talking. Yeah.
All right, you'd be like, well, I got permission. I don't know about you. No,
I mean, it's all me. He kind of chimed in. He chimed in.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just hoping he hears it. I don't even know him, but I know that you guys get along, so we'd be buddies probably. But
oh, no. He's good.
You know, I'm not going to lie, though. If you were in there working your beard magic on an old farmer, like, you know, I'd be like.
Well, we started talking cattle and tractors and trucks. And,
I would just nod aggressively in the background like, yep. Mm-hmm. Fuck Pelosi.
I'm with this guy.
Fuck gleaners.
Yeah.
Fuck
gleaners. You ain't got a gleaner, do you?
I see you got a deer like a smart man.
He gleaners. Got a gleaner, he says yes, and Ross just walks away.
Yeah. Like, you know what? It was nice to meet you, man. I'll see you later.
Your property ain't good enough for me. Yeah. I saw that neighbor's old gleaner broke down over there. And
the guy's like,
a smarter
I was
going to
say yes, but yeah, you own a gleaner. I ain't hunting here.
So we roll, believe it or not.
Technically, you do want to hunt where people own gleaners because there's more crop on the ground.
Oh, so, yeah, because they haven't used it in 20 years.
So we take off. We go do all of our stuff in town, and then we're racing back, like getting a game plan, hanging and hunting. Like we're sitting in this draw together.
Yeah.
Or this whatever shoulder belt. So he gets we roll the block the opposite way this time on our way in because I'm driving the truck, so I've got to drop Bill off and then go park the truck and then come back and then climb the set. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So. While he's getting everything set and I'm going to climb up behind him, you know, I can go park the truck and in this driveway and then I'm going to come back. So we roll this thing backwards and we get around the corner and like, well, literally all we got to do is turn right and then head straight towards the shoulder belt. And there is a 60 flock of muleys laying out in this field. I mean, a bunch.
Flock or herd?
I love the flock.
I just say that.
At what point does it turn to a flock?
Hey, we crowned flock shooting when we were antelope hunting.
Right. So there's a 60 flock of these muleys just laying there, right? You interrupted me. So,
yeah, Eric, shut up.
God damn. All right, I'm going home.
So we start looking, and there's four bucks. Like, there's four really nice bucks laying in this group. And... he's like, you know what? Just stop truck. So I stop. He pulls it up. He goes, dude, you know who owns this? I'm like, you're kidding me. Our little farmer buddy we just met.
My guy.
He's like, yep.
My man.
I'm like, so this is like, there's a farmstead back here. It's like this long driveway that tees off of this road. And he's like, just roll the driveway. Let's just roll down. There's cows. There's like an old farmhouse. There's like all this stuff. So just an old farmstead sitting there. We're slow rolling these deer, laying 90 yards off the driveway, just laying down in this cornfield. And I'm looking as I'm driving. I was actually driving because I got the truck. So
yeah.
I'm looking at these deer as I'm driving down the road, trying not to ditch the damn thing. And I'm like, ooh, that's a good one. Yep, that's the one right there. And we just go down there, turn around, roll back. He goes, well, sounds like... you're going to drop me off and I'm going to hunt that shoulder belt. And I think you better be getting a plan together, buddy. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I got a plan. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I drop him, and then instead of having to park in the driveway and go hunt with it, with him, now I'm going to the other end. He's killing. He wants whitetails. I want mule deer.
No kidding?
Yeah.
He yep. wants a whitetail even though you guys are out.
He's killed like a 200 muley. Like he's just, he doesn't.
He's care. Done it.
Yeah. He's yeah. like, ah, whatever. So, so he's like.
What it is.
So I'm.
He I have a strong request to get this guy in studio.
Oh, yeah. So he, so I drop him. Oh, yeah. Roll around the block.
Everyone just chuckles.
I'm just down the road.
I'm making Play-Doh snakes when I meet this guy.
So I roll the driveway. I'm slow rolling these deer. Look at them again through my binos, like just laying right there. I'm slow like, rolling. Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
So
and they're eyeballing you. They're looking in your soul as you're rolling by.
Oh, yeah.
You're just looking at them thinking you are so fucked.
Yeah.
As long as you don't stop, though, you're in the chips.
Yeah, don't stop. Yeah,
can't
don't
stop.
Just so keep I just rolling. Kept rolling. And then, so the driveway kind of drops off, and there's like this grain bin right there. I park the truck by the grain bin. I'm in a low spot. They can't see me. I'm in the farmstead. Like, there's cows right next to me. There's this grain bin. There's an old chicken house. There's an old outhouse. And then there's this the house. And I thought, oh, I'll slip back here. As I'm rolling in before I even parked, I must mention that these deer are all just getting in a single file, just a single file row, and walking through over this little short part of the fence, jumping the little fence, and walking straight through the yard of this
house. It's like elementary school. Yeah. Single file.
I mean, it's like a highway.
Alphabetical.
I'm like, boom, right there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Park truck. I realize they're going to be moving on the west side of this house. I got a southwest wind, so this is perfect. And they're going to another what their shelter belt, which is just like trees spread out 10 feet apart, and not yeah. much there to bed. But that's where they're bed, and I can see it. So. I'm like, well, this is going to be good. Where in the hell should I set up? Like, should I sit in the chicken coop, the outhouse?
the outhouse.
Maybe, I don't know, like the, over there, there's like a play, like a little play set, like a little fort that the kids built years yeah. ago, and it's all falling over. I'm like, you maybe can, by that tree. I don't know.
It, you can take like a shit pallets. And shoot at the same time.
Pallet. There's like pallets all stacked up. I'm like, man, I don't know, maybe right there. I'm like, ah, but if they get out there, then I don't know if I'm going to be too close. There's going to be too many eyes. I don't know. So I'm like looking. I look at the house. I'm like, ooh, air conditioner. So roll up.
Prime unit right there.
I roll up. The big old air conditioner just sitting on the back of this house. Yeah. I'm like, yep, this is my spot.
So well, first unit. Off, you analyze the house, and there was fresh snow and no tracks, so nobody had been into the house.
Yeah, I mean, it looks abandoned.
The house is vacant.
Like, we're just chilling out.
1974 Sears and Roebuck air conditioner unit.
Old dog. So
what a unit.
This house has been there a while. No tracks. Nobody's living there. It's just like, okay.
Old murder house. Right. I got you.
I'm going to just park definitely my on. Ass right next to this air conditioner and just see what happens. So I get on my knees.
See what happens.
I literally just get on my knees right behind that air conditioner. And I started thinking. I was waiting for about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. Sitting there on my knees. I'm like, wow. This is going to be a long sit. It's like 4.5 hours till dark. 4 hours till dark.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is going to suck just being on my knees the whole time. I need something to sit on.
Yeah. Should I get a thermos seat, buddy?
No kidding, dude. So
that would have been perfect, actually.
Oh, absolutely. But I jump up. I'm looking around. I'm like, you know what? And as I'm looking for a chair, I'm like, But I'm looking for something to sit on, I kind of poke my head around the house, and there's a package sitting on the front doorstep.
From Amazon.
I'm like.
Not from Sears and Roebuck.
That's weird.
From Amazon.
Yeah. Doesn't look like anybody lives here. There's a package. Maybe it was a wrong delivery.
So, gotta be.
So there's no tracks, though. There's no fresh tracks.
I mean, the snow's been there for 3 days, so, or 4 days.
So you walked outside and grabbed a package?
Yeah, like, and it never pulled up, so if somebody's, whatever. Anyways, so I'm looking for this chair, and I find a cinder block over on the west side of the house, north facing. Downspout is being held by this cinder block. I'm like, ooh, that'll be a little rough. Ooh. That'll be a little rough to sit on for a while, but that's better than nothing. I'm grabbing that cinder block.
Right.
I walked over there and just for shits and gigs, poked my head around the house. Dude, there's a doe standing like 8 feet away eating a bush on the side of this house. I'm like, whoa, boy. And I look over her shoulder and there's like a single file of does just rolling my way. I'm like, fuck that block. I just ran back over, sat down. Right behind that air conditioner on my knees, like this is happening right now.
Yeah. That's where you see me, and then you do that thing. You guys can't see me. You're like, you just turn around real slow and go back the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's getting exciting.
So I sat there. Here he comes. Here they come, one at a time. Does rolling up. Where that cinder block was, there's another bush right on the corner of the house. So I'm like 10 to 12 feet away from this bush.
So behind the air conditioning unit.
Feet. Like
feet
right there.
Behind the bush.
I'm like, oh boy.
So he's hiding behind the bush that they're eating on.
They come around the corner. These does start eating this bush, you know, 10, 12 feet away. And a couple little ones, you
it's
know.
Like urban it's always, hunting, but just not urban.
It's yeah. always the, it just seemed like all night though. I mean, there's 60 out there. I mean, give or take, but I'm going to call it 60. There's a bunch.
Right.
So they start trickling. Well, there's 60 deer got to make their way by. And a lot of the does with fawns got up first, and they were the ones coming by. Well, they were just hanging out. Like, they just stand next to the house and just chill.
Yeah.
This sun's got a long ways to go before it gets down. So I'm like, man, this is – now I'm screwed. I should have grabbed that block. Like, this is going to be a long sit.
Yeah.
So they start trickling by, slowly moving on, and then more would come, and it just kept pouring like that the whole time. And I was just sitting there, and I all of a sudden my legs are so dead, like I can't even feel them.
But you're on your knees at this point, right?
But there's so many eyeballs around. Oh, yeah, on the knees the whole time. And there's so many deer around, I can't move or kick my legs out or stand up or anything. So I just literally moved my bow ahead. I had a bipod on my bow.
Yeah.
I just moved my bow ahead, and I just, like, rolled forward and stuck my head in the snow just so my legs could get blood. Like, it was so
mad. So you're like a ball.
Oh, dude. Just, yeah, I just rolled forward.
Just fetal position.
And, yeah, that was the first time I let my legs breathe, which was a mistake. So now you get all the tingles, and now you get all – I should have just let my legs die, honestly, because it was
– just had a broken arm. Now you ain't got, no legs.
You're just riding Lieutenant Dan at this point.
Right? Yep. So but I roll Lieutenant back Dan. Up. I roll back up, and there's probably 20 or 30 deer past me by now.
Yeah.
And this has went for 45 minutes, probably 45 minutes at this point, since I had gotten set. Which is pretty good. Pretty good to sit there on your knees. But then all of a sudden I hear something. I'm like, what the hell is that? The furnace kicked on in the house. It's like blowing steam out the top, like out the stack.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? I turn around and I peek in like the egress window. There's like a bed made, but there's a dirty towel and some dirty laundry laying on the floor next to it. Like, oh, shit. Like, this, somebody lives here. Like, I'm...
And you're outside the egress window.
I'm outside the egress window, and I'm, like, I'm in the middle of nothing, and somebody's going to come rolling in any minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And this hunt's going to get ruined. I mean, not to mention they might be offended that I'm hunting off
the back. Yeah, you're explaining what you're doing.
You're parked your ass right against their front deck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, so, do you think it's possible that someone hadn't been there in a while because they hadn't grabbed their package, but they just had the furnace on to keep everything from freezing up?
Or? That's kind of what I started trying to convince myself of.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like maybe they forgot they ordered something.
The
been
first thought was someone's living here and hasn't left for fucking 10 days.
Yeah, right. Well, I just hope they kind of went to Florida for the winter or something. So
and just keeping the house warm?
Yeah, just, you know.
Probably.
Keep her on 45 and just let her roll. So,
best option.
So anyways, all right, so these deer start moving across. There's more coming. And then I see one of the bucks, well, the smallest of the four, got up. He rolls across the wide open bean field, like headed away from me, clear across the field, like 120 yards. I'm like, oh, man, he's small. I hope those big ones don't do that. And then, of course, you know, usually the big boy is the last one to get up, so you're just being real careful. You don't know if they're going to come by you, if he's going to be the first one, the last one, I don't know. So this air conditioner sitting there, I'm right behind it, tucked tight. Here's these does. It's getting to about 40 minutes before dark. You know, that sun's starting to set pretty good. And I'm listening to these does chomp on this bush right next to me.
You can hear them fucking breathing.
Six to 8 feet away at this point.
Yeah. Feet. So this deer, finally, I look past the doe. I hear a crunch, and he's over there breaking sticks. Big old boy raises his rack up from there's oh there was an LP tank, and then there was a big dead branch like tree that had broke off and was just laying there. So it's all, you know, got its branches and everything. Well, he steps behind it, raises his head up. He's like 18 yards, raises his head up. I'm like, there he is. Like, this is it. So he's stepping. So I grab my bow and it's freezing cold. I got a hot hands in my little pocket. Like, I'm just keeping my fingers thawed.
Yeah. If you take him out for 3 seconds, your hands are cold. Yeah.
So then I'm like anxious. Like, oh, he's stepping. This is now, right now it's happening. So I grab my bow, hanging on to this ice cold ass riser.
Should have got a carbon bow.
And he's over there just jacking around. He's just jacking around, just eating, stale behind this dead branch tree that's fallen. And should clean that up. But anyways.
Nobody lived there.
He puts his, So he puts his head back down and I can't see him. This went on for like 2 minutes. I put the bow back down, put my hands back in my pockets. Like I'm 18 to 20 yards from this deer and I got my hands in my pockets holding on to my,
Dude, all I can picture is like the emotional zip and zap back and forth and like temperature changes of your body. Your legs are falling asleep.
Yep.
Like it feels so close, but it's so far away.
Yeah.
And like it's just a clusterfuck.
Yeah. To top it off, you don't know if some guy's gonna come running out of the house because you don't know if you're a lizard.
This is a very nerve wracking hunt.
This could either be an unsuccessful hunt, a very successful hunt, a weird start to a porno, or a murder.
One or the other. Any of those. It could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
nobody actually knows. That's you're rolling the dice here.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, I'm on the edge this whole time. Like this is crazy, but and I just you know I just want to kill this deer and I'd like to go back to Illinois. That'd be cool.
So, just let me go home.
Can I go home now?
I want to go home.
I got to shoot this deer first, but I want to go home now. So anyways, he finally starts making the move. Or this big doe, like mama doe, with two fawns, yearlings, young ones. They haven't been weaned off yet. So she's eating the bush. The two fawns are clear out in front, like way ahead of him, 60, 70 yards away. They led the group in, or they were part of the early ones. He starts stepping ahead. The two fawns, I pick my bow up again, and I don't need to range him. He's close. The two fawns turn around. They're like, holy shit, mom's clear back there eating that bush. We got to go. And they come running. I mean, like bawling, bleating, just making a bunch of meh noises.
Yeah.
Running at me. They come running up. One of them comes right through, stops at like 12 feet, like right in front of me.
Yeah.
The other one is going meh, meh, right up into my face, like right there. I'm like, I got to do it. I went full draw and he's stepping ahead. And if he goes in between these two trees, like he was going to do.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets past that tree, I got to shoot that deer at like 60, 70 by the time he gets around it. Cause it's all, there's grass, there's a bunch of branches hanging. Like it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's right here. He's 20 yards. Like, I got to kill this deer. So this little fawn, full draw, little fawn running up. I'm like, I got to do it. And just poof, real quick, zip past both fawns' faces, right in between their heads, and zap this deer. Like, bad shot.
How
like,
close?
He's 20, but I had to hurry up and target punch that trigger.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I got to make this happen.
Get it in him.
So I got it in.
Squeeze it in.
It was back a lot farther than I wanted it to, but it was – The deer's going to die. Like this is a lethal shot.
Yeah,
hit the deer.
Oh yeah, I
passed through
both. Yep, both sides. He's done. So he runs off and immediately lays down. He gets to that little 110 yards. He gets to that next shelter belt, hedgerow, whatever. Lays down immediately. I'm like, well, he's not feeling good. This is good. Meanwhile, I'm filming him. Meanwhile, I hear something crunching next to me, and I'm at this point like I kicked my legs out and just laid down. Like my legs were so dead.
Yeah.
I just kicked my legs out. I'm laying there just
at that
in
point
agony.
You said fuck it. You just fucking getting relaxed. So,
Lieutenant Dan had enough.
So
I'm ready to get his legs back.
I need my legs
I'm
back.
I'm ready to be normal.
What am I gonna do about my legs?
Ice cream.
I can't feel my legs.
Start beating on his legs.
You ain't got no legs.
So he's laying down out there.
Push through, Ross.
And I'm trying to take my binos, and I'm shaking because I'm cold. Fucking cold. And then I'm shaking because I'm pumped. Like, I got so many feelings going on right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, take my binos. I'm trying to run my phone through my binos so I can zoom in on him and get a picture and, like, just everything. I hear a bunch of crunching right next to me. I roll my head around because I'm laying down now. Roll my head around to look. It's the other twin to him. Like, spinning image twins. The only difference was mine had a better four on the left than he did.
No shit.
They were identical twins.
How far was he?
Oh, dude, he was closer. He was like 15 yards.
No shit.
Looking around. And anyways, he ended up walking on and headed right over, and he marched right up to that buck that I just shot, and he horned him in the ass and jumped him up.
Oh, no kidding.
He wanted to fight him, and he jumped him up, and he took off, and he made it like 10 yards and stopped and stood there, and then this buck come up and shoved him again, and he went another 10 yards, and he just stood there forever. And of course, you know, you shoot him in a, man, you shoot him back, like it's guts, like this deer's hurting bad, but
yeah.
It's going to take some time. Hopefully this deer doesn't run him off. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, he ends up bedding down. That deer finally left him alone. He came over, he bedded down right on the edge of this, like, hay. It's like an alfalfa patch in the backyard of this place. He lays down looking right at me. So I took, when I left the truck, I took the, what do you call those? The Dakota, was it the Dakota Silhouette decoys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I took the Whitey with me because he's got antlers and it's just a better silhouette.
Yeah.
So I put that on my bow. I watched him for a little bit. I texted Bill, said, hey, I shot one. He goes, come get me. I'm like, well, I'm going to try and ease out of here, but I don't want to blow this deer up. And there's a whole bunch of them sitting over there. So
or
I just grabbed
the
this bow.
In the house.
I got it. Yeah. I got this thing hanging off my quiver, and I just start crawling real slow around the house. And yeah, I got around it, and I peeked back around. He wasn't there.
No shit.
So he had jumped up. I scared him. He didn't like my methods there. So, anyways.
It's a good effort, though.
He jumped up. He's gone. So then I went around the house again to see where he went because I'm glassing. It's getting dark enough now. Like, it's almost dark at this point. And I can't see where he went. Finally, I see a deer, big buck, dark-bodied, walking away from the whole group, headed east. Like, and there's nothing. Like, you got to go a long ways if you're going to find anything that way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think that was him. Well, thought about it, and I got out of there and then thought about it all night, didn't sleep. And the next morning went in there, started tracking blood, good blood right off the hit, started trickling, found where he's laying down, lots of blood, good blood for a gut shot, honestly.
Yeah.
And but no, I'm searching for bodies at this point because it starts trickling. Like, I don't know.
There's still snow on the ground.
But there's still snow on the ground, yeah. So I'm looking for blood on snow. Like, this is the best. The best of both worlds is really.
And it's wide open country out there.
And but it's wide open. So I it gets to a point where I spent about an hour and a half with my nose to the snow trying to find this blood and figure out where he went. I found one glob of dark black blood dropped next to a set of tracks. This looks like a cattle farm. Like, this is a feedlot of deer tracks. Just everywhere.
Tracks everywhere. You don't know which deer,
so now,
which tracks are his.
Now I'm on these tracks, what I think is his tracks. So to speed this up, I get ahead and I find that these are his tracks for sure. So now I'm on my hands and knees crawling through the snow, following these tracks, hoof print, step by step, until it starts getting thinner and thinner with all the other tracks that are around. And I get on, I know these are his, and I find my arrow. Boom, just laying right there on the ground. I'm like, well, sweet, I'm on it. I move ahead, find a little bit of blood, and those tracks separated from everybody, and they're just marched across a clean, like, glass of snow.
Oh, gosh. Just by themselves.
Yep, by himself.
Beautiful.
By himself, straight across, and I mean this huge bean field headed to a great big pasture. I'm on those tracks. Now, at this point, like, I'm on a full-on, I'm like half-ass running.
Yeah.
I'm on him.
You're all giddy.
Yeah. So I get all the way over there. He hits this next hedgerow, and there are a few tracks starting in again. Like, some does came and joined him later. I could tell they were fresh. They'd followed him over there or something. And I found a bed with a bunch of blood in it again. And I thought, well, shit, he bedded down again. But he's not here, so where'd he go?
Shit.
Did he go right, or did he go left? If he goes left, I was at the beginning of this great big hedgerow, and I thought if there's a slim chance he went right, but I'm going to try it anyway. So I started going right and found that big, another, well, I told you that, I found that blood. So I kept going right off of that bed, across the fence. As soon as I crossed this fence, it's just an old barbed wire fence.
Yeah,
I see something moving clear down in this pasture, and I pulled binos up, and there are two big crows just like circling, and then they'd land. And then I saw something else moving, and I couldn't tell what it was. Pulled the binos up, three coyotes on the deer that I shot.
So good sign, but bad sign at the
good
same
sign,
time.
Good sign, bad sign, sad. This deer is getting ate up by these coyotes.
He's dead somewhere.
No
but
kidding.
I could see his big old rack just laying there, and then the three coyotes behind him. And of course, they started at the entrance hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were working on the back. Yeah, the back legs.
They did their work.
So, anyways, I got in there. I run them off, and then I walked all the way back and I grabbed the deer sled that we had just purchased from Cabela's. That was the main reason we went back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, got a deer sled, got him loaded up. Well, I took a pretty sweet trip.
Dude, I took a pretty sweet trip.
I hope you saved that Snapchat.
I got it. So I took I got on top of this hill, and it's a long ways down to this deer. And I just
maybe we'll post
a big ass running start and pushed that sled. I kicked that sled and it way out ahead of me. And I took off hauling balls as hard as I could, ran and jumped in that sled and just slid all the way down this hill. And I don't know how the speed just timed out perfectly, but I rolled right up next to it.
You stopped right next to it.
That was your first try of the video?
Yeah.
I thought you had like replayed
that. Dude, no. You imagine that walking up that hill more than once?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I had to drag that deer.
Hey, mule deer.
That was the 13th time he climbed that hill to try that.
If we'll have to post that video.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So
we'll post that for the episode.
I got him loaded. I pulled him all the way back, which is like uphill the whole damn way. And people say that, but this really was uphill the whole way. I had three little small washout drainage ditches that I could actually let him roll downhill to and give me a break. But it was uphill for, jeez, man. It was like 800, 900 yards easy.
That was it. I mean, I know it was better because it was snow and you had a sled, but I know it's still brutal. But
yeah,
thank God you had that sled.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the thing about it is that snow was still, it was at that point, it was starting to warm up because it was the next day, you know.
Yeah.
Warming up, so that snow was like, what do you want to call it? Really packable.
Yeah, yeah. It was snowman snow.
Yeah, it was snowman snow. So as you pull that big heavy deer through that, you know, over that snow, that sled's packing it. If you let up on that string at all, going uphill,
it ain't sliding.
Like he was wanting to go. I just made like a racetrack for that sled because it's packing that snow.
Oh yeah,
like it wanted to just choop, shoot back. So I had to keep tension on it the whole time.
Yeah.
But anyways, got him back. Got some cool pictures. We went back and talked to the farmer, and he was excited, and it was great.
That's awesome. So, what a way to like make it work out for you.
Yeah. I mean, my first mule deer. He's a beautiful buck. So excited. Wild story.
Yeah.
But
that's an insane hunt.
Wait, does anyone live in the house? Did you figure that
out?
Well,
I tell you what. So we got out of there. We took our pictures.
That's what I want to know about.
So, of course, Bill hasn't shot anything yet. So we're still hunting. So, I got a taste of eating. I was tagged out. So I got a taste of that, but. So I just driving him around and spotting deer and, you know, just doing the thing, dropping him off and to go hunting. And, so we rolled the block the next day because this was at noon. We pulled him out. Yeah, it was like noon. Got him out of there. The next morning, we're rolling through. And both of us, we pull up to where that big 60 group was that I watched come by and I ended up shooting. There's a Chevy Traverse sitting in the driveway of this house.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh. And we just turned the corner and kept driving.
And that was it.
That's the end of that.
They're like, what
and
are
that's all
these,
I got to say about that.
What are all these boot prints doing around our house?
No, dude. Yeah. Hey, here's the best part. I guess the best part. Another good part of it, maybe it was obviously like a tenant house the farmer owns.
Yeah.
And some girl or lady was living there. It had gotten hot enough by the next morning, snow's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're never there.
Boom.
It's like a ghost.
At least he didn't steal our package.
Like a fart in the wind.
Hey, urban hunting in the country.
That's right.
Yeah, that's as close as you get, I guess.
In BFE.
Yeah, no shit.
That's what you call adapting to your situation.
Yeah.
That's
well, congratulations,
awesome,
man.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Dude.
Super excited. And what a good feeling after the miserable year of being in a cast and then sight my bow in like the Saturday at noon before I'm leaving on Sunday and then go in on the first day and then whack him at 20. Hard not to shoot one and kill it at 20, but
no kidding.
It's happened. So
I couldn't imagine me like, I think I broke my arm again right before you leave. Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
That was, oh yeah. Riding that plane. I'm like, oh,
you're just like,
no.
Oh, what did
oh,
I do?
No.
Yeah.
Oh man. Congrats. It's a beautiful buck. I'm so mad at you
awesome
for only
buck.
Doing a skull mount, but it's fine.
There's always, you know, you can do something later.
You're right.
He's going to look good. He's fine.
We got Old Barn on our side.
That's right.
Well, congratulations, man. I think this closes out part one of Ross's epic 2020 series. I think we're going to do a 2 to 3 part series. We're not sure yet. We're going for it.
Winging it.
So congratulations. We'll start you with the closing. You got anything to close with on that?
I tell you what, all of you guys hunting out there, whether it's been successful or not successful yet, keep your heads up, enjoy every hunt, love every minute you can in the woods, because it, you know, our days, we only have so many days on this earth, and every time you're in the woods, it's a good day.
Amen.
How can you top that?
Yeah, it was right, really good.
Right? That's right. I think we ended on that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. Look for part two. We love you.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.